on to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Adam Ophis, and today, after having part of the summer off from doing council meetings, we're back again with Mayor Sandy Bowman here today. So before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of everything, were you able to actually kind of enjoy your summer some?
I always enjoy my summer. Fort McMurray, we always have beautiful summers. That's one thing. We had an amazing August, and we're having a beautiful fall. So although I was working here most of it, I did enjoy it. It was I always enjoy all the events we have going on in the community, and we're having a beautiful fall, so definitely enjoying it.
Yeah, and you know, and that was the thing when I first moved here. I moved in here in November, so I had missed summer. I went straight into winter, and people were telling me, like, oh, just hold up. Like the summer will make it all worth it. And I got to say it was, because like you had mentioned, every single weekend there was some amazing event going on. And I guess like the most recent one here, I popped over on Saturday to the ATC Cultural Festival, which I'm sure you had a chance to pop down there as well.
Yes, I did. I was there Friday most of the day. It was an amazing event. We were there for the opening ceremonies. We did a pipe ceremony in the morning with Randy Martin. It was an excellent ceremony. And then we went from there onto the stage, and I had some great conversations with all the chiefs that were in attendance that day, as well as the Métis leaders, including Grand Chief Noski, who's the Grand Chief for Treaty 8 Territory. Great man, great speaker. We had some good laughs and some great conversations. So it was definitely a great day down there, and the organizers, what an amazing job. And what they've done in after having a lapse of a few years not having that festival, it was a huge success, I believe. Probably one of the best attended events we've had in the region, and I think it's only going to get bigger.
Well, I know even just from my perspective, because I think I was over there around noonish on Saturday, and the amount of, well, the crafting stations, like every crafting station I went to was full up of people learning and learning all these things through the Indigenous peoples, and the food that was there was absolutely amazing. And you had mentioned some of the big main speakers on the stages, some amazing speakers, and the organization they had there, which you had mentioned, was phenomenal. Like, you were able to get around, see everything, and take part. It was an absolute amazing event. And kind of like going off from that, now I know you, as well as the municipality, has put forward a journey, and that is through the Truth and Reconciliation Challenge that was put out from the municipality. And you yourself,
Every week we have, so it's right now we're into week five, so it's challenge is going to go on for until following into September. So the national day for Truth and Reconciliation is actually September 30th. So you can look on our rmwb.ca/TRC to get information. And right now we're into week five. So week five is reconciliation challenges, but economic reconciliation. And that's one of the ones that when you go on to our RMW website, you'll see that you can actually take a test on that on this for this week to see what you know. Me personally, what I've got into for myself personally is learning Cree and Dene. And my challenge to myself is to be able to do our land acknowledgement by January in Cree and Dene. So that's my own personal. And everyone in the community can get involved just by going to rmwb.ca/TRC.
Yeah, because it's been going on for, like you said, 5 weeks. The first week was learning truth. The second week, now I know that was learning language was week two, the focus on. And you had mentioned last we spoke, I know you were learning it. And like you mentioned there, you kind of well on your way. Week three. Now, week three, I did want to ask you about as well. Week three was probably a difficult subject for some people, but a very important one. And that was a larger discussion into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and two-spirited people. What did you end up doing for that week?
That week, I was up at the Father Mercury School with two of the young ladies up there, and we had some discussions up there, and they made some red dresses for all of the school. So it was a very somber time, but it's a very good time for education. People learn what's going on, what's actually going on behind the scenes. And I think it's a very important part of our community to recognize that these things are happening, these things are going on, even today.
Yes, 100%. And it's something like, I know it's tough for some people to talk about, but it's very, very important. And last week was covering the art and sport of the indigenous people. And now, I mean, you even walk into the council chambers now, and there's some amazing indigenous art in there. What did you end up doing so last week for art and sport?
Last week we had an evening with Fred McDonald, artist and elder from Fort McKay First Nation, was here for an evening at the council chambers. He read some poetry, reviewed the arts, a few different indigenous leaders spoke at that event. It was very educational, and kind of when you talk about truth and reconciliation, it was definitely the truth, and brought kind of emotional aspect to it. When you talk about Fred's poetry, it really brings to life some of the things you may not think about and may not talk about.
So now, like you had mentioned before, we're on to week five right now for the Truth and Reconciliation Challenge, and that is economic reconciliation. Now, you can join in, if anyone listening, you can join at any time and take part in this. It's always good to learn. And if you could just recap again, so what's happening for this week for you for the economic reconciliation?
For economic reconciliation, you can go on to it's a challenge, so it's a challenge for people to see what they know. Go on to the website, rmw.ca/TRC, and you can go on there and you can take the challenge yourself, so everybody in the community can take this challenge and learn some truth about what economic reconciliation is and what some of the myths are. So it's an open challenge to everyone in the community.
Before we move on to cover last night's council meeting, and that is, so the end of the month here is actually a very important day, and that is the Day of Truth and Reconciliation, September 30th here. Does the municipality have any plans for that day?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the kind of our, what we're leading up to. So that's National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. So that will definitely be something to look for, and you can see all the events will be listed on the rmw.ca/TRC again. To get the information on that. So it'll be an important day for all the community, not just our Indigenous peoples, for everybody in the community to learn about truth and reconciliation.
Yes, all of those challenges are actually up on the RMWB website. If anybody wants to check it out, you can do it at any time. And if for anyone that is listening to that wants to hear more about last night's council meeting, we're going to get back to that right after we take this quick commercial break.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Adam Mofis, and we have the pleasure of having Mayor Sandy Bowman with us today. And now on this part, we are going to be talking about last night's council meeting. And to kick it off, we had a presentation from the United Way, and it was brought up that more needs to be done for the rural Indigenous communities. So how is the municipality looking into this, or does the municipality have a say in this?
Well, it's the United. That's the United Way. They'll have to dig into that. That's their prerogative and what they do. And Kathy did an amazing job yesterday, and she's looking for ways for our rural councillors and as Loretta Walkman, our councillor Loretta Walkman mentioned, that it's not just about what they're doing for the community, but going to the communities to get them involved. So I think the director Kathy Steves is very, very good, very excited, and very. A loud personality. She's amazing. She's at every event, and I think she's going to do that herself. She'll bring that to our rural communities and get our rural residents more involved herself. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing some events in the rural communities and some invitations going out. So I think we have a lot of faith in Kathy, what she's done the last year and what she's got our United Way through. So we have a lot of confidence in her, and we'll see where that goes.
Okay, so it didn't look like there was much of, like, no funding or staffing issues or anything like that. It was just more of getting that communication and connection back there?
Yeah, I think it's always a form of communication. And it's really important that everyone realizes that the size of the region we are, and that we're not just the urban center that you see from council chambers. We expand from Conklin to Fort Fitzgerald, and I think sometimes we might forget that, and we want to make sure that all the organizations that have social profits keep that in mind when they're working with the community.
Okay, and then moving on to kind of the next subject there, and this is something I believe that you had actually pushed for earlier in the year, and that was the creation of a pro-business advisory committee. Now, what is the goal with this committee?
Goal is to have supporting the small and local businesses in the community, to have a voice at council when there's issues they can bring to this committee and be part of this committee and work through those challenges and have a direct line to council. And it's important that it's always important that we listen to our business community, because that's what employs most of our residents. So, and we want to keep our business in town. We want to keep things local, and this is just another path to do that.
Okay, so basically, so this committee, they will go out to the businesses to get everything, like gather up all the information, or maybe the businesses will go to this committee, and then that committee takes everything and kind of brings it to you guys?
Yeah, businesses will go to the committee. The big committee's not going to go out searching for things. The people can, business owners can be part of the committee. They can be on the board on this committee to have a voice. And they can bring the issues to that committee, and they can work through them, whether it's different ways of red tape reduction or whatever they can do. And then they'll bring that collectively to council.
Okay, yeah. So just a kind of a focusing iris of all the communication for businesses, so that it's not a 100 or 1,000 different voices you're hearing from. It's just this committee can get the pertinent information to you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then I know, so last we had spoke, council was still looking for the right CAO, and it looks like you found the right person finally in Paul Thorkelson.
Yes, Paul will be joining us as our Chief Administrative Officer. And first I want to actually thank the members of council that were involved with the selection process, Councillor Ken Ball, Councillor Alan Grandison, Councillor Jane Stroud, and Councillor Sue Weigel, as well as all our administration staff that supported us in the process. And for council, another council, council members being available for last-minute meetings to meet on the subject. I think Paul comes with vast leadership experience. He's originally from Edmonton, Alberta. He's a former CEO of the District of Saanich, and he's also the former CEO of the City of Nanaimo. I think this position is a very important position in the municipality. It's someone that needs to be trusted and respected. So I think he's the right person for the job, and we're looking forward to him joining us next week.
And so I imagine you have a hiring committee that goes through this, because I would assume a position like this, there would have been hundreds of applications from across the country.
Yeah, we had a lot of applications, and we want to thank everyone that applied. We had a lot of good candidates, some local, some from all over Canada, all over Alberta. So we want to thank everyone that did apply. And them taking the time out to show their interest in the community and their passion is really appreciated.
We're going to be right back. We're just going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but we will be right back to cover the latter half of last night's council meeting.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
We're back with Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Adam Opus, and we're going over last night's council meeting with our very own Mayor Sandy Bowman. And the part we're at right now was the asset management cohort. Now, this was brought forward from administration. Now, as far as I know, I believe this is essentially more training or municipal staff, or more specialized training, I believe?
Yeah, this is more advanced training. Basically, is what it says, is managing our assets. We have a lot of assets, and the better we manage them, the better fiscal shape we'll be in. So we're not wasting money on places that we shouldn't have to. We're just not going to reinvent the wheel. The asset management cohort will people we train with other municipalities to learn how they do things and how we do things, and make sure we're doing the best we can for our community and managing our assets the best way, most fiscally responsible way we can for the community.
And I guess speaking of fiscally responsible, because I know the latter half of the meeting was talking about budget, and truth be told, kind of the long and short of it, it sounds like the municipality is financially doing quite well.
Yeah, this is, just our quarterly report. So in that quarterly report, we just want to make sure that we keep our finger on the button, that we know what's going on. And this is just brought up from our administration to show that, again, we are in good shape. We have no deficit and no debt, and we're doing good right now.
And I know we've spoke about this before, but the kind of the largest capital project before June earlier in the year was the flood mitigation projects. And I know that is basically kind of that large of a cost and one-time thing, because once it's in place, it will be far less in later years, right?
Oh, yes, because even right now we're doing a temporary. Once each reach is completed, that actually lowers the yearly cost, because we won't have the temporary berms put up on where the reaches are completed. And right now I know there's a lot of work being done on Reach 11, so we won't have to, once that's completed, there won't be any temporary flood mitigation put in that. So each year we get, it's a large capital project, but once it's completed, we won't be doing the temporary stuff anymore.
Okay, and then with various grants that both that the municipality receives itself and the ones that it gives out this year to perhaps nonprofits, has that changed much in the later years, or changed much since the? Because I know there was going to be changes in grants that we received and nonprofits received after the COVID ended from the province and federal government. Have we seen much changes after that?
Oh, this valley has been granted to date about $40.8 million in grants. Most of that's been capital grants, and then almost $9 million has been in operational grants. But the next budgeting comes out next month, so we'll be dealing with that I believe it's November is our budget. That'll come out then, all the grants for the CIP and that sort of funding that comes out then.
Okay, and then just lastly, I do realize like the amount of snow we had got last winter. I know people, that's a dreaded four-letter word, I agree. But we had a ton of snow last year, and that kind of changed the cost of snow removal in the city. Is that something we're kind of prepping again for this year, or are things just kind of going status quo of last year, and we'll just see how this winter goes?
Well, the budget process starts next month, and we'll be working with all our administration, with our directors, with our council, and we listened to what people said last year, and we'll be ready.
Fantastic. That is all the questions I had today, Mr. Mayor. So if there was anything that I missed and you just kind of want to add on or in addition to, the floor is all yours.
Yeah, I just want to mention, welcome all the kids back to school, back to the college, and people kind of keep their eye out for school zones and watch the kids crossing the streets, because they're all out now and they're all excited to be back to school and may not be looking both ways crossing the streets. So just everyone be safe, watch out for each other, and enjoy the fall.
Very well said. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I do appreciate it. I do hope that that you enjoy the rest of your fall.
Thank you. You too.
Huge thanks to Mayor Sandy Bowman for joining me today and talking about last night's council meeting. Now, the RMWB has, you can see last night's council meeting on their YouTube page. If you want to head over there, you can watch the whole thing. They've got it on there. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. But if you missed it and you want to hear more, you can head to our website at mix1037fm.com, where I'm sure if you look around, you'll find a podcast somewhere there that you'll find entertaining. I'm Adam Opus. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.